So, one of the things that Holy Spirit's really expanded recently, or just in the last couple of days, it's been amazing. And in many, I would say probably in the general church circles, this would be considered almost heretical, is that we've been taught that our value is in Jesus, and it's only because of Jesus that we have any value to God. And that's actually backwards. Because for God so loved the world, that's the first step, that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever should believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So the whole plan was God's love was the motivation. It wasn't that Jesus had to come to scrape off all our barnacles of sin, because otherwise the Father couldn't tolerate us. And I think it's a really new concept for people. We've come under this thinking that we're valueless, and it's only through Jesus that we have any value to God. We had value before he came, and that's why he sent him. And it's a major shift in understanding. And it also opens the doorway for a love affair with the Father in a way that we probably wouldn't have access to with the other kind of thinking. And Holy Spirit just revealed this yesterday, and it was something that I believe he really wants to explore, that what happens first is God's love. Even in the garden, he wanted to be with them. He wanted to commune with them. He did. That was the whole point of making mankind in his image, so that he could commune. He didn't make rhinos in his image or elephants in his image. He can't commune with them in the same way that he can commune with a human being. So he made us in his image, and the desire was to be together. And when that got thwarted by the enemy's plans and by man's foolishness and pride, God did not give up and say, "Well, to heck with you guys. You know, we're just not going to go any further, and I'll start a new model." He wanted to, he knew that there must be a way of salvation, and obviously he'd already planned Jesus before the foundation of the earth. It's all been planned. And I think if Christians really get the value that he has intrinsically in us from before we were born, his value for us, when we get a hold of that, the depth of that, like he says, to know the depth, breadth, width of his love, that's what the Father wants us to know. And that's what's contained in this understanding, is that level of love. Then people will not have to go around and prove themselves in the church or get a certain position or one up each other or compete. Because what would you need to do that for when you are valued completely before you even receive Jesus by the Father? And that's what he's been sharing with me. And I think, again, his love is what opens us to the fullness of God, because he is love. And he's wanting us to understand that this is the picture he gave me. And he was waking me up last night, Holy Spirit, trying to get me to write this first paragraph of an article, and I resisted. I can only remember the title, and then I'll still have to I asked him to, remind me in the morning. And so I'm depending on that, the Holy Spirit will remind me. But he was trying to share with me this, and this is what I think how one of the ways he's going to remind me through the teaching, is that the first step, or the whole context of salvation, is the Father's love. The next step is forgiveness. Forgiveness comes first. And the forgiveness is obviously through Jesus Christ, through our receiving him. And we enter the door that is Jesus. And he's the way, truth, and life that leads us to the Father. And whoever enters, I am the door, he says, and whoever enters in will be saved. many Christians, I believe, including myself, have stayed camped in the doorway. And that is not where God wants us. He wants us to walk to the throne and be with the Father. That's what he wants. That's what Jesus did. He ushered us in to the throne room. And what is amazing to me, so there's first forgiveness, then, which allows us to enter, that's the door, that's Jesus. Then, through Jesus, we receive the indwelling Spirit of the living God, Holy Spirit. And that is who we are meant to commune with. And I'm not talking about we don't speak to Jesus or we don't speak to the Father. Of course, they're one. But in terms of realizing that the living God lives in us, the Holy Spirit, if we commune with him, the richness of our relationship with the Father and Jesus just grows. And they aren't separate anyway. They're never competing with each other. It's not like humanity wants to, you know, I have a better position than you. But the Holy Spirit's function is to teach us and is to lead us into all truth and is to help us. These are all his description, is to comfort us. And I feel like this is really what the Father wants us to learn, is I gave you Holy Spirit. He is me in the flesh in you. And if you're not going to relate to him, you are going to miss me. And that's what he wants to teach us how to do, how to actually relate to the Holy Spirit. And I'm just looking at how to share that. And he's the one who's going to teach us. It's not, I'm not figuring it out. I'm not giving a dogma or a doctrine or a booklet or, you know, this, the 7 easy steps to the Holy Ghost, you know, nothing like that at all. But what I do know is because it's a living relationship, we are only going to find it through. So what he's really sharing with us is this phenomenal awakening of the Holy Spirit. If it's on or it isn't on, I'm just going to continue. So the whole gist of it was that Holy Spirit is now in Jesus' stead, and rather than us ignoring him or sidelining him or seeing him as the invisible man, we are one with him. And as we commune with him, we're going to have an awareness of the love of the Father like never before. That's basically the bottom line. And that's what we want. So he's giving us this, it's I can see it as an awakening. He wants to awaken the body of Christ to who the Holy Spirit is, to what his function is, and to how we are one with the Father through him. We came in the door, Jesus Christ. By his blood, we are cleansed. By his death and resurrection, we are now one with the Father. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. Holy Spirit is the indwelling Spirit that now, it's almost like we have to get the maths on this, in a sense. Holy Spirit is now the one that we communicate with and we commune with, and we ask all manner of things. And allow to really lead us into all truth that we're seeking and not have to struggle with it. It isn't a struggle for the Holy Spirit to lead us. We just have to actually walk the way he's walking, where he's walking. Completely lose it. All right. So what I'm saying, and what the Holy Spirit's saying, it's not what I'm saying, what he's revealing to me, is that this is an imperative message for the church, this awakening of their relationship with Holy Spirit. I had someone yesterday that was so distraught because they didn't feel they could hear the Holy Spirit, and yet, you know, they're a born-again Christian, they speak in tongues, they pray for people, you know, all of it, but they felt disconnected. And the disconnection wasn't because they were disconnected, it was because of a mindset and a misunderstanding and being taught to basically not really relate to Holy Spirit as a person. And that is one of the biggest lies in the church, and we need to break it, because Holy Spirit is the one that will teach you individually one to one and knows everything about you. For instance, she was this lovely woman. I thought she was going to be on today, but anyway, and she was in her, she wasn't in her kitchen, but as we're talking and as I'm speaking with her and sharing and praying, the Holy Spirit shows me her kitchen, shows me a particular thermos that she uses, and she puts hot water on it for her hot drinks. I mean, very specific. And he was saying to me, I'm going to teach you when you're doing the most mundane things. You don't have to look at me and sit there for 5 hours with the Bible verse. I am just with you all the time. I'm in you. I'm the abiding Spirit of the living God. So you don't have to worry. You know, you can be running around doing your normal stuff, and I'm going to teach you. And she was just, you know, by the time we finished with the session, she was completely enamored with the Holy Spirit, opened and understood that he was the one, he was her teacher, and she was allowed to know him fully and not be separated at all. And that's what we want the church to learn, that we're not orphans here. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Never leave you nor forsake you is the Holy Spirit. And it says in the scriptures that Jesus asked the Father for the Holy Spirit, and the Father sent the Holy Spirit to be with us forever. That means in heaven we have the Holy Spirit. We're filled with his Spirit. It is amazing. And people think that this never leaves you nor forsakes you is this thing from heaven. It is not God looking down on us going, oh, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I've got my hand on you and da 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 da. He lives in us. It's in us. He is in us. So how could he leave us nor forsake us? Because he's there inside. And that's the awakening that he wants to bring to us as the church. That do not run around like an orphan. Do not think you're separate from God. And even do not think you're separate. He's showing me, don't think you're separate from the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit said to me, I'm with you. I'm in you. We're together. We're one. There is no separation. So stop walking around as if you're alone, or as if you don't have an answer, or as if you don't know what to ask, or as if you don't know what to receive. I'm one with you. No separation whatsoever. And what will happen as we do that, as we actually sit with him, be with him, just know, actually get a sense of that knowing, you know, that you know, that you know, that you know you're one with God. What you say, how you act with people, how you minister, whether it's formal or informal, is him. And when you take a step, he takes a step. It isn't separate. We're not to see ourselves as separate, because we aren't separate. That's the reality. And that's what he wants to share and impart, I believe, today. That instead of us camping on, okay, I'm saved. Oh, thank God for that. You know, all right, I'm in. And camping on, you know, okay, Jesus, we're just going to camp here at Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. So where was he leading us to? The Father. And how do we commune with the Father? Through the indwelling Spirit. Holy Spirit. That's how it works. It's almost like, I almost feel like it's God's math. You know, he's got mathematics. And this is how it works. Okay. My love is the whole umbrella. Then the first step, step one in this math, it's like algebra, you know, this math equation is forgiveness. Forgiveness comes through Jesus. You receive that through faith by grace. Okay, now you got that. Now, as soon as you receive, you receive the indwelling Spirit, Holy Spirit. He's the one who leads you. He lives with you forever, the rest of your days, forever and ever. Amen. Not just here on earth. Forever. And he's always there. And he's the one we commune with. And then with the Father, our relationship with the Father has been sealed by the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, this is the problem. The way we've been taught is that Holy Spirit is kind of like a additional extra. Take it or leave it. And he's even called it. He's not even called him. Most people say it or a force or some kind of mechanical process. Or, you know, he just flows through. Or, you know, the Holy Spirit, it flows through. I lay hands and it flows through. Oh my gosh, he's the relationship with God Almighty. And that is how we have words of knowledge. And that is how, through him, that's how we have prophecy. And through him, that's how we have miracles and healings and words of wisdom. He is the one who gives us that. How else are we going to have it? Like people, you know, when someone's flowing with Holy Spirit, in unity, people will be amazed at how they are touched or how prophecy comes forth and how accurate it is. And they'll say things like, how do you know that? Or how do you know what to say? Or where did you get that? You know, and it's all Holy Spirit. And it's Holy Spirit not being separate from you. You're just talking. Holy Spirit's talking. If we could really get a hold of that, I mean, the magnificence, the glory of that. That he actually breathes in and out with us. And the never aloneness, you know, never alone, never. And really meditate on that. The other day, that's what God gave me for a person to meditate. Holy Spirit said to this particular person, I want you to meditate on, I never leave you nor forsake you. That was all. Just chew on it, talk to me about it, pray about it, think about it. That's what meditating is. You get your hands dirty when you meditate. It's really good. Just think about that. Because that is the core of what Jesus did. And Holy Spirit is the one that exercises, for want of a better word, or expresses that core. Or is that core of I will never leave you nor forsake you. It's like he's the personification of I will never leave you nor forsake you. Holy Spirit, that's him. That's his job. And then he has all these other jobs. He's the helper, the comforter, the counselor, the spirit of truth, leads you into all truth. He's all those things, the teacher. He does all of that. But his core being is I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's what he does with Christians, with believers. And if we are really going to help transform the world from the inside out, including people who don't know him, people who are against him, people who are afraid of him, people who think he's bad, the bad dad in the sky who's always looking to judge them, people who don't believe in him at all because they've been so hurt, so they say, I'm an atheist. All those people, if we're going to walk in oneness, and that's what the Holy Spirit is, he's oneness. He's our oneness with God. That's how we're going to be able to touch these people. Because he will know them individually. It is not a formula or a doctrine or a teaching. It's Holy Spirit and us, one, walking. And of course we're going to know what's going on with the person. Because he can see them from the inside. He sees from the inside out. You know, and what happens is we start to see that way. It's kind of with both of you. I know you keep going on and off, but with both of you, that's what I want to say. It's Holy Spirit, when we yield to him, when we speak, he's speaking. And we aren't have to see ourselves as, oh, did I get that right or did I get that wrong? You don't even think like that anymore. You just know because you speak, it pours forth. They start to confirm, the people that you're ministering or talking with or sharing with start to confirm what you're saying. And you know. You know, you don't even know them. I mean, they're 10,000 miles away or they might be a neighbor and you might know something about them. But say, you know, in terms of distance ministry or online ministry, you're not going to know anything about them unless you've gotten to know them online. But often you know nothing. It's the first time you've ever met them. He will say all these things about them. They are absolutely not, they're beyond encouraged. The depths of their hearts are touched. And it's not like Holy Spirit is here just so we can minister to people. That's not his only desire or will, because he does have a will. His will is that we actually realize we're one. That's his will. And all the other things that, you know, go out into all the nations, like Jesus said, and make disciples of them all. All of that happens as a consequence of that oneness. And rather than focusing him as a power, although he has power, he is that manifestation of the, you know, the Father's power here on earth in us. But we don't look at him as a power station, you know, like a nuclear power plant. That's how he's been described by some people. It's just like this power. He gives to us everything that the Father has. All the gifts, oneness, so total unity, direction, you know, our path. God made us each for a particular path, a particular way. And he's not, my way isn't your, you know, anybody else's, and neither is yours. And he said something this week when I was praying with somebody, and they'd had a lot of pressure from church and whatever, but they had this dream in their heart, and it was just about killing them because they were waiting for the church to release them, which was never going to happen. Because they weren't in one of the teams, and they weren't in one of the leadership, and you know, they weren't in the hierarchy, so to speak. And when I was praying with her, Holy Spirit said, this is what the Father said through the Holy Spirit in me. It's amazing. He said, "The I Am directs your path, no man." And she started to cry. Because it was directly from the Father saying, what are you doing listening to these other people? I Am directs you. And I live in you. So you are released. Go. And it was amazing because there were, you know, a lot of tears and all, and a lot of revelation and a releasing. I mean, it's still the person's, what would you call it, choice, whether they go or not go. But their heart has been completely open, and they know the Father's for them, not against them. And that's what Holy Spirit shares too. It's like the fullness of God is in the Holy Spirit in us. And we only have to take time to get to know him. And if we don't have to do it in an efforting way where, okay, do I sit with him and have a cup of tea? Or do I do this? Do I read the Bible? Is that, you know, no, he's with you continually. It's almost like just tune in to the truth that he's with us all the time. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. And to get, really, I think the other thing that Holy Spirit really wants to teach us today is that he just showed it to me yesterday, and it was so clear that when we stop sitting on the immediate side after the cross, most people, it seems, it's been my experience, and including myself, has been, we receive salvation and then we sit right next to the cross as close as we can get because, oh my goodness, you know, I could lose this any minute. Instead of when we receive salvation, we receive it through grace. Everything we do is covered by the blood of Jesus. And we can walk on from the cross now. and we walk on from the cross in unity with the Holy Spirit. So it's not as if we're, you know, we're, it's almost like we feel, you know how children, I've seen some parents, they'll have a little child that's a bit rambunctious or whatever, and they'll put them on a little lead like a puppy. It's like we do that with the cross, you know, oh, I better stay, only just, I can't go, oh, maybe 3 feet. Yeah, maybe that's safe. Instead of that, the cross is, you know, the embodiment of what the cross did is our receiving salvation and then the Holy Spirit. We carry the cross in us. We can walk away from that event of salvation now and keep going because the cross is in us. We are dead and buried. We were crucified with him. It's no longer we that live, but it's Christ that lives us in us, in the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. And it's such a deep revelation, I think, that we don't always get it. We don't really understand. How do I walk like that? And you know who will teach us? Holy Spirit. How do I walk in the reality that you never leave me nor forsake me, Lord? That I am one. I'm one with you because whoever's co-joined with him is one spirit with the Father. That's the Holy Spirit. He's not separate from God. He's not a different entity. He's one. Three persons, one God. We don't understand it, and I don't care anymore. I don't think it's important to understand it, but just to yield to that truth so that we can receive what he wants to give us. And so what you just said there is absolutely true. If we don't think of that him, it's not even him with us, it's him in us. If we don't think of that, what are we thinking? We're baptized in one spirit. That's exactly right. So Alfred, do you have some thoughts on that, what we've been sharing or what he's been sharing? I'm not sure, we can't hear you. Or if you're going to write it down, that's great. So Ronnie, what about you? You were having some thoughts about that.
Yeah. I was thinking a couple things, actually, as you were speaking there. And one of the things is that, you know, with the Holy Spirit, Sometimes we do feel isolated and destitute, Jesse.
Yes.
A lot of times, you know, we're thinking that we're alone and separated, and because it's not true, it really messes us up if we're believing that he's not with us. And that's one of the problems that I have with some teachings, is that they teach that you got a regenerated spirit, which is true. You know, you're born again, but he's also with us. And if you're thinking that he's up there, you know, high standard bearer, somewhere where he's out of reach, and you're trying to, you know, oh, I'm not doing this yet, I'm not doing that yet, I'm not like so-and-so, or this ministry, or just someone, you know, we're looking at the wrong person, and we should be looking at the person who's with us, you know. And I sometimes struggle with that, but you know, it's encouraging when you do remind yourself he's with us, you know.
Exactly. And the thing that he's just sharing with me now is that the revelation of Holy Spirit is something Satan works really hard to discourage. It's one of the reasons tongues are so maligned in the church, and the gifts. They all come from the Holy Spirit. He doesn't want us to have anything from the Spirit. And the truth is, it's a living relationship, so you don't know from day to day, moment to moment, what he's going to share, what he's going to teach us. And it's more than with us. It's not just God with us. That was Jesus when he walked the earth. God is with us, Emmanuel. Now God is in us. One. Totally different. That's what Jesus gave. That's what he gave.
And who is he? He's the Spirit of Truth.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. I just paused it. You're saying. So you.
I was just saying that, you know, like, I made a note there about Simon the sorcerer, and, you know, he basically saw the power, and that's all he was really after, and that's his heart. There was issues with his heart, and, you know, Peter pointed that out, you know.
Yes.
And he is power, but it's the spirit of truth and his revelation of who God is, and that's what we should be desiring, and what we spend time, you know, with the Bible or whatever, you know, with the Word or whatever, when we ask him things, you know, that's when he you know, brings revelations and you know, that kind of stuff, you know. At least for me, it is.
Absolutely. And he can, this is what he's also trying to share with us. Get this. He wants to share with us, I can bring you revelation when you're washing your car. You know, it is not limited. He's in us. His thoughts infuse us. I can be, you know, that's why he was sharing with this other person. She was in her kitchen and he was saying, don't worry. Oh my gosh, I've got to have my Holy Ghost time. You know, yes, it's important to commune specifically with God and just, you strike with your wife, you know, or a husband. And it's very important for us to take that time out. And if we don't, we can, you know, we can have, it can be very unhealthy for the relationship. That's what he's trying to share with us. Don't put me in a box. You know, don't put me in a box and say, okay, it's only our special time. Although that time is so rich. When I specifically make time, sit under the mulberry tree and just commune with Holy Spirit, it is amazing and it is wonderful and I do need it. There's no question. This is not about let's be so busy we don't have time for God in a just a conversation, you know, just our time where we rest in him. We absolutely need to rest in him. There's no question. He tells us to rest. It's what we're, the only thing we're supposed to strive for is resting. So it's not that. But he also doesn't want us to think that, oh, if I missed a day, oh, you're going to miss out. You know, I'm going to go into the back room because you were naughty. And I won't be talking to you until you come to see me. It's not like that. He's in us. He's one. How can he leave us? I'm driving down the road. What do I think he left me? Oh, my goodness. Holy Spirit, where are you? Well, actually, if you just kind of look inside, you'd notice. He once told me that. He said, Jesse, stop thinking of us as separate. He was actually a bit annoyed. And I thought, oh, and I was scared. This is one of the reasons believers do not walk into the depth of God. We're afraid of that unknown expansiveness. To really get a grip of your oneness with God right now, not when you go to heaven, I'm talking right now, full oneness with God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, the moon, the stars, and everything else, full union. Scary stuff. Not because it's scary and God is going to hurt us, but because it's so magnificent and this is one word where you can use awesome. It is full of awe, awful in the original sense, that it's hard to comprehend or fathom. But it's worth it. And it's not like Holy Spirit's going to take you into some dark, you know, cavern and, you know, of all the unknown. It's not like that. We think that, but that's not how he does it. He's light. All he's going to share is more light. We get scared because we look in human terms and intimacy, even for women, although men seem to have, you know, Satan's really hit men in the area of intimacy, but even for women, we only want to get just so close. You know, we'll look like we're getting a lot closer than men. But really, we have that barrier too. And he wants to break it down. And Holy Spirit, we just say, break it down. We want no barriers with you. None. In Jesus' name, none. We just want to flow with it like there is, that we live in the reality of no separation with you, Lord. In Jesus' name. I want none. Because he just gets richer and richer. And what he's sharing now, what he's showing me now, is that as we yield to him, who the Father made us to be emerges naturally or supernaturally, I suppose. We don't work at it. We don't fight it. We don't make it happen at all. It's not like, oh, I've got to do this willpower thing to make myself more like God. No. All I've got to do is yield to Holy Spirit. Say, okay, Holy Spirit, I don't understand this. Or Holy Spirit, I'm having problems with this. Holy Spirit, be my comforter. Holy Spirit, help me. And he does. He takes you. It's so fluid. You don't even see it happening. So all this efforting and psychology that believers have learned to do is not from God. It's not what he wants for us. It's not how he operates in us. He's the Spirit of the living God. He's alive. All we do is ask the question. He's the answer. And we let him do the answering. And it's all relationship. It always goes back to relationship. And not, how do I get relationship with God? You know, this big efforting thing of, I don't know, you know, do I do this with him? Do I spend more time? Do I read the word more? No, it's not even that. It's go directly to the Holy Spirit who lives in us and say, Holy Spirit, I don't know how to relate to you. Holy Spirit, I don't know how to get close. Holy Spirit, take away these barriers that are in between you and me, in my mind. They're not real. They're not there. They're strongholds in our minds. It's nothing to do with reality. He's one with us. We're one through Jesus Christ. And it isn't minimizing Jesus because, you know, the enemy will say, oh, if you're saying you have value and it's not because of Jesus Christ, that sounds like heresy, but it isn't. Because the Father so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That was the second step. The love was the first step. Our value is because the Father loved us, not because he sent Jesus. Jesus was the reason. Jesus wasn't the reason. Sorry, I'm saying it wrong. His sending Jesus was for us. It was for us that he sent him. It wasn't because we were so despicable and he couldn't tolerate us. It was because the reason that he was sent was for us. And if we get a hold of that one, we're the reason. We are the ones he made. We are the reason the Father sent Jesus.
And he's full of love too.
And he's full of love. And Jesus said yes. I mean, it's not like Jesus was, I mean, it's through him we were made. It's through Jesus we were made. He didn't go around going, oh no, I don't want to save that lot. He volunteered. It's all fixed. It's all rigged for us. And then Holy Spirit said, oh yeah, yeah, no worries. I'll live in them. You know? They all are for us. Elohim, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Elohim. I wish we had in English the same kind of wording like they do in Hebrew. Elohim is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's the fullness of God. So if we had a word that described the fullness of God, like Elohim, which is all of him. You know, Elohim was the one who said, let us make man in our image. That was Elohim. That's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So that's who he is. And when we see God, we see these three separate parts, and they're not parts of God. They are persons. And that's why I think we've really struggled with how to relate. Because which one am I related to? Is it Jesus? Is it the Father? It doesn't matter. They all, you know, I speak to one, they all hear. They're not separate. It doesn't, you know, I speak to Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit haven't got their ears plugged with their fingers in their ears. It doesn't work like that. They're all one. But he left Holy Spirit, he sent Holy Spirit for us to have direct communication with. And through him, we can relate to the Father and the Son. Perfectly and holy. And that's what he wants people to learn. And he even shared with me this, and I know a lot of people would, you know, not be thrilled with this idea, but hey, this is what Holy Spirit told me, so I'm just going to go with it. He said, you know, that this year, 2011, was this year of celebrating Holy Spirit. And he was going to pour out, like Niagara Falls, champagne of Niagara Falls, because it was a celebration. He kept giving me pictures of champagne corks and bottles popping, and I'm thinking, whoa, Lord, this is a little bit off, you know? But he shared with me why. I said, okay, what's that champagne for? Oh, when you celebrate. It's the year of celebration of the Holy Spirit, because he's going to pour out like there's no tomorrow. And if people don't like it or offend it, they're going to just have to get out of the way, because he isn't going to stop because of their sensibilities. He's just going to pour out. And if people have a mindset that doesn't accept that, or they feel offended by that, well, so be it. That isn't stopping him. He's going to do what he's going to do. And he's been, what I find amazing is, as I'm, you know, sharing with people or teaching or healing or whatever, he pours out. He's pouring out more and more and more. I know what he's teaching is oneness and what oneness means and how to experience oneness, not how to have oneness. We have it. But how to experience oneness. That's what he wants to teach. And I can't do that without him. You know, he's the only one who's gonna teach us how to experience it. And it's a living experience, not from a book or a teaching. It just happens through him. And I know A had this the other day. And I'm just going to ask him to share that a bit, if he would, even if it's just in typing. How he just, you know, falling in love with the Holy Spirit. And people just think that's, oh, that's terrible, or you don't do that, or, you know, you're glorifying him or whatever. He's the living God living in me. What am I supposed to do, ignore him? That's not what we're meant to do. There's all these rules about how to be with the Holy Spirit. In fact, the rule is, don't be with him. You know, just know that he inspired the Word of God. Read your Bible. And once in a while, if he talks to you, you get a word from the Spirit. Oh, isn't that nice? Exactly. That's great, Ronnie. The one from, that's from John. What isn't it? John, what is that? John 17, I think, isn't it? Neither pray I, Jesus, for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved me as thou hast loved them, excuse me, as thou hast loved me. Yeah, John 17. Wonderful. Exactly. That God, exactly. God is not trying to just barely tolerate us and thank God for the blood of Jesus. Otherwise, you know, oh, we're despicable in God's eyes. No. He made us one. That was his whole purpose for Jesus, that we would be one with him. And that is not what is taught at all. What's taught is that, so instead of thinking that the purpose is, oh, you know, thank goodness I'm cleansed by the blood and barely making it into the kingdom. you know, and that we get stuck on this legal fact that I'm in the kingdom, phew, just made it. But actually knowing that the real purpose of the Father's heart was to live in us through the Holy Spirit and to be one. That's what Jesus did. That's why he came. That's why he came. And that is not what we have been taught. And that's why legalism and checking your salvation every 5 seconds and wondering if you can lose it and lack of grace and law-based teaching is so prevalent. Because we have not got a hold of that we're one with God. That is what's missing in the body. And I, for one, am going to share it as loud and clear as I can. Because it's the Father's heart towards us. And he wants it known. He absolutely wants it known. Because without it, we're operating like robots. And like orphans. And like machines. We're not operating. We're not living as. It's not, not even that word, operating as. I mean, that's a very mechanical word, isn't it? The opportunity, not even opportunity, what he's given us is to live as one with him. Not separate, not divided, not on pins and needles, because, oh my goodness, I sinned after I was saved, so who knows what he's going to do to me now. We're one. What is he going to do to me? Slap me upside the head? Well, I guess he slapped himself as well then. I feel like the Father is so angry about this, that the wrong teachings and the wrong, the false revelations of how you're supposed to be with him. Never understanding the glory and grace that he walks in on our very feet. That we, as we walk somewhere, his grace and his glory and his joy and his peace is walking in our feet. And every step we take, that's the step he's taking. And he's pouring out glory and grace and oneness to the world that we touch by wherever we go, whether we're going to Africa or we're going to downtown Toronto, it doesn't matter. That's what he wants to share. And I can see it. I can see it in the picture that as we walk anywhere, you know, I'm seeing a place where it's very dusty and you're walking and you're barefoot. And I'm not saying any of you are. It may be me. It doesn't matter. It's a spiritual view of what he's saying. But as you're walking, it doesn't matter the circumstance. It doesn't matter the location. His joy is pouring out of our feet. His glory is pouring out of our feet. His truth is pouring out of our feet as we walk. Every step we take. Every step we take. And I'm just... So exactly that revelation A that you got is that not to be taken like academics, but life. And when we realize oneness with him, all of a sudden, all the words we've learned come to life. That's exactly what it is. And the river is to pour out of us no matter where we go. That's right, Ronnie. It doesn't matter. I can see it. Our feet are so important. You know, it says how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the gospel of peace and of good tidings. That's what we do. That's what we're meant to do. Not run around checking ourselves. Am I saved today? Oh, did I lose it? Oh, did I make a mistake? Oh, which rule did I break? Oh, did I have a bad thought? Oh, my goodness. Oh, I swore. Oh, how could I have done that? And be spending our whole day on what we did wrong. Instead, our feet are graced with the glory of God, and we're supposed to be walking in that where we go and touching all of them. The enemy has downtrodden us so much that we've been walking as these haggard, hunchbacked people that are more concerned with what have we done wrong today and when am I ever going to get it right than we are that what does Holy Spirit want to share through me? Where am I walking today? What has he got to say? And whether it's performance-based of, you know, I got to heal everybody and that becomes your burden or your oppressor, or whether it becomes legalism, abide by all the rules of the Ten Commandments, which is now obsolete anyway because we live in a new covenant. Whatever it is that's been set up, whether it's from church teachings or our own beliefs or parents or generations of traditions of men. It doesn't matter. That has to come off, and that has to be broken. It actually has been broken through Jesus Christ, so we're trying to break what's already broken. It's just insane. And we need to walk in the reality of oneness, and because he did break it. He broke it on the cross. We don't need to break anything anymore. Yes, there's times when I minister with people and they have something that's binding them. And I break it in words. I declare that it's broken. Yes, in that capacity, we see something. Holy Spirit shows me what's binding them. But the truth is, it was broken on the cross. Now I'm just delivering the reality. Just like they were healed. But they might have a sickness of cancer. Well, I don't go around going, well, you were healed, so stop believing that. That should be over now. You don't do that. You actually address the issue and you deliver the promise. And that's what we're supposed to do around the world. We're supposed to deliver the promise that the baby Jesus in the manger came to give. Good tidings. Good God's good will towards mankind that receive him. And his good will is there for all of them, but some of them aren't going to receive it. And that's what he wants to share. That's what oneness gives. Yeah, put on love. That's right. Put on love. That is, above all things, put on love. That is the bond of perfection. That's right. And that is oneness with him. You're exactly right, Ronnie. And we're not to reburden ourselves or let anyone else do it, put us into bondage. It's already been broken. That yoke has been broken. We are to walk in the heavenly oneness of God Almighty here on earth every step of the way. Our feet are to bring that to those that we encounter. Not as obligation, and not as a rule, and not as a performance or a earning of salvation or works-based favor from God. No. As the living waters flowing out of us that we cannot help it. Our feet pour out joy and the gospel of peace and grace, and we walk in it. We can't stop it if we tried. That's how we're meant to be. That is who we are. That is who we are. We already have it. The church has been taught we have to earn what Jesus already gave us. Yes, by good works, but beyond that, we think we have to actually earn relationship, and we don't. We can't. We've already been given relationship. It's not ours to earn. The fact that we cannot earn relationship with God, it's already been given through Jesus Christ. We already have it. We just need to get that. And that is what renewing of the mind is. I had the most amazing, last night I was praying for somebody in Africa. And they have an orphanage. And they have a lot of problems. You know, they need food for the children. Children are coming in that have been abused. They have to rescue them from the police. It's, you know, I mean, from, you know, they go to the police station and pick the children up. And it's quite a huge project, I guess you would say. And as I was praying for him, I was praying for provision. And I was saying, you know, when it gets really low, lay your hands on what you've got. And pray for multiplication and thank God for it, and then just release that multiplication, and you know, so that there'll always be enough. And I've done that with our own cupboards when things have been really tight or customers haven't paid and we're waiting in between, you know, payments. And I've seen it happen. It's not like the cupboards get full suddenly, but there's always enough. There's more that comes out. There's more that comes out, just like the loaves and fishes. It's exactly that same principle. So I was telling him that, and then God gave me the most incredible vision I'd say prophetic word for him. And it was incredible. It was absolutely incredible how the blanket of stars above this man were the reminder of God's covering over him. And that every time he was to look at those stars, he was to see the Father's covering over him and what he was doing. Right in that location. So, and look at how kind the Father was. You're going to see stars and the night sky every night. You aren't going to miss it. And it was the reminder. He said, don't forget my blanket over you, these stars in the night sky. And that's the personal nature of God. That I know that God was speaking specifically to him about this situation. He had a lot of other words too. But to encourage him and to know that he was favored already. He didn't have to earn it by being good or doing an orphanage. He's favored. He's loved. And of course God loves the work he's doing because he's taking care of those children. And Jesus said that they are in, well, it says in the Bible, the Holy Spirit said this, obviously, to James, that true undefiled religion is this, to visit and care for widows and orphans in their trouble. And they're doing exactly that. And it's amazing work, what they're doing. It's incredible. I mean, I'm supposed to visit them, and I can't wait to see it and to pray for people and to teach them healing. And then they can do that when children are sick rather than have to run and get, you know, medicine that they can't afford. I mean, that is just, to be a part of that, to give that is just so important. And then they can share it with the children. The children can learn, all the believers. And that's true religion. You know, religion isn't the binding you up and giving you rules and telling you, you know, must act like this and you must act like that. And otherwise, you know, you're out of the club. That's not religion. Religion is looking after those that the widows and the orphans. That's what he said. And of, you know, what true religion is in terms of visiting orphans and widows in their trouble, you know, and that isn't necessarily healing, is it? I mean, you might need to heal someone. You might need to pray for them. But you may not. You may just need to comfort them. You may need to feed them. There are no particular, you know, boxes that Christianity is supposed to walk in, because the Holy Spirit is the living God walking with us, in us. We're one. He'll show you what you need. He does it all the time. It's amazing. You know, he knows things about people that I would never know and shares them perfectly. He'll even, down to the very dress that he's sharing me that they will wear. It might even be a dress they have, or it might be the kind of person they are and how he wants to walk with them, because he knows that's their particular style or that's their way of being. It's that specific. And it's amazing, because you don't have to figure it out. How am I going to figure out what they're like? I don't know them. They live in Minnesota, you know, or they live in Kenya. You know, I don't know what they're like at all. But he made them, so he knows everything. And that's the one we're one with, the one who made everything. So of course he's going to know what's best for people. And that's all we have to realize, that we're one with the one who made us. And that's it. And if we get that, then we won't be struggling to figure anything out. That's how it's meant to be. No separation. That's our way. So, A, did you want to say something about that? Go ahead. So you're talking about the freedom. We think we have to rid ourselves of what we're holding on to. It becomes another process, another man-initiated work. You don't have to figure out how to, you know, there's this thing that I do and I should let go of, and there's this thing I shouldn't do. Okay, I've watched too much TV. Okay, now I don't, you know, I'm not as nice to my husband as I should, you know, or whatever, or wife or whatever. It's not that we work at that. We give it to Holy Ghost and say, free reign, do whatever you want. That's it. He takes over. There's no effort. There's no struggle. Because you're one with God. And you're just acknowledging it, and you're yielding to the oneness. Rather than thinking of yourself as, oh, these parts of me aren't like God, and I should get rid of these. It's nothing like that. It's not how God is. He infuses you. He fills you up. We just have to stop seeing it ourselves as separate. And the things that, in terms of yielding to him, once you just yield, he'll take over. And you don't have to be the horse drawing, you know, I see it like one of those Clydesdale, and you've got this huge burden in the cart, pulling, pulling, pulling. Okay, I'll keep pulling this. You know, this is what I've got to do. No, you don't. Jesus did all that. He took all those burdens. He took all those problems. We just don't believe it. Once we believe it, we won't have to deal with it anymore. Once we just say, Holy Spirit, like, I mean, the way he's changed me personally, I haven't done it. People will say, oh, it's so amazing, you know, you can do this and you can do that, and it's incredible how you touch people and everything. I'm like, I don't even know how it happens. I have no clue. I have no clue, I'm telling you. It's all one. I'm one with him and it happens. And I don't have to figure any of it out. And you don't have to, you know, empty yourself. Empty yourself of what? He fills you. Just be filled. You don't have to worry about what you hold on to, what you don't hold on to. Holy Spirit will teach you. And Holy Spirit will show you. And Holy Spirit will actually take those things without you having to, you know, go, oh, how do I get rid of this? I mean, other than casting your cares upon him, yes, do that. Because otherwise we hold on to it every day. Yes, you can say that and tell the Father, look, I don't want it anymore. I cast it on you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And every time the enemy tries to beat you up with it or remind you, nope, I cast it on Daddy. I don't even know what you're talking about, enemy. I've given it to him to go talk to my Father. You know, it's so simple. It really is childlike. That's how we're meant to be with him. So, A, what you were saying is that over the years you were subject to such things as God doesn't see you, he sees Jesus. And then goes over into, he's not really seeing me, so let me, by my own power, try to stay and in God's good graces. And then you get a glimpse of someone walking with God and the Holy Spirit working through them, and more bondage, as to say that, oh, they must be an insider, as if God's playing favorites. And that kind of mentality causes some of us to think, why is God letting this happen to me? And that kind of leads us into that kind of thinking. And the revelation of oneness is the answer and the freedom to all that deception. Hallelujah. Yes, exactly. In Jesus' name, oneness is the answer. I asked him about 2 weeks ago, a week ago, whatever it was, I said, Holy Spirit, I don't get it. I don't get the three of you. I love you all, but sometimes I need one over the other. It seems like I want to relate to one over the other. And then I just said, I'm just going to. So I asked Holy Spirit, okay, I don't understand oneness. He's a teacher. He leads us into all truth. He understands oneness. Okay. So I said, teach me oneness. And then I didn't run around going, let me look at all the scriptures that talk about being one with God. Now, if you're led to do that, go for it. I'm not saying that's wrong at all. If the Holy Spirit leads you to do that, go. If you hear a teaching about oneness and he's led you to that, great. That's wonderful. He's done that with me as well. He's led me to books and everything, or teachings or whatever. I'm not saying that. But I just ask, you know, one to one, Holy Spirit, teach me oneness. I don't get it. And he did it. Again, he doesn't do it in this weird way that we have. We have this very Greek mentality. Okay, you stand in the front of the room, Holy Spirit, and I'll just sit in the chair. That's not how it works. It's fluid. You're washing the dishes, and all of a sudden he gives you an understanding. You're ministering to somebody, and he shows you what oneness is by the fact that the words that come out of your mouth are speaking directly to their hearts. He does it like that. He does it like that. And how can we describe oneness even? Okay, he who is one, he is co-joined with the Father, is one spirit with him. And we think of one with. We still think of we are with God. No, one. We are one. It's not with God. We're one. No separation. So that's why when people say, oh, but if you go away from God, and where am I doing that? How does that happen? I'm one. How am I going away? Oh, you mean when I turn my view and I go over here and I start drinking and smoking again and kicking the cat because I'm angry because I lost my job? Oh, you mean that? And that means what? I have eternal damnation. I'm one. Grace doesn't end with my making a mistake, because he made me one. So where am I supposed to go? When I go away from God, as they say, or you've backslidden, most people that I find are backslidden, you know that they've backslidden? They've backslidden from church tradition. Because they've been so choked, they don't know, they don't even know God. You don't run away from God when you know the depth of his love and his grace. Very hard place to leave. Who could leave the most loving parent ever made? Even in human terms, would we do that? No, we wouldn't. We would find that parent. It's like, I want that parent. He gave me everything. Gave me the golden eggs. Gave me all the beautiful food that I wanted. Gave me this beautiful fluffy bed with feathers. Duck feathers, you know, in the pillows. I want to go to that parent. You know, once people realize who God is and how he is and what he's done, no one wants to leave. And yes, you may have bad hair days and things go wrong. And, you know, nobody likes that. I don't like it either. And, you know, just like our technology issue at the beginning of this, you know, it's very, but that doesn't change my oneness with God or what being one with God. It doesn't do anything to it. You know, I got flustered. Well, oh yeah, God's really judging that. No, I forgot to put that one on Jesus. Yeah, when she got frustrated, I didn't like that. I think I'll be a little bit separate from her today and withdraw my presence. That's how people think. It's absolutely, I mean, it really makes the cross of no account. That's what it does. Like it says in 1 Corinthians 1:17. You know, Paul said, I didn't come to baptize, I was called to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ be made of no account. And that's what's happened. We psychoanalyze God in our own terms of how we would be with as human beings, you know, not him, but how we would treat somebody who was mean to us. Or did disrespected us. We anthropomorphize God and then wonder why we're so scared of him, because we actually look at him as like what a human being would be like. And we miss completely what he did, and we miss completely our oneness. And no matter how many times we sin or make mistakes or purposely even do something, I've purposely purposely, you know, done what I wanted to do, go in my direction against God. I've even told him to his face. And it was a very serious situation, but I thought I knew best. Excuse me. You know, I know best. This is my family. And what happened? I absolutely shot myself in the foot and had to go through another year and a half of more pain because I didn't listen to God. But did God punish me? No. He actually redeemed it. Because now that situation has been resolved. Through this time, I had another opportunity to listen. And I listened to him this time. And I went his direction. And he's redeemed it like I never could. So he doesn't run around punishing us for, you know, being self-willed. But we do miss his optimum choice for us and optimum benefits. We'll miss it. Exactly. We miss his goodness. Exactly, Ronnie. We miss his goodness. And that's all he wants to give. He doesn't want to choke us, and he doesn't want to deny us, and he doesn't want to make no joy in our lives. He said we were supposed to have, our joy was to be full, Jesus said. That's what he wanted. So when, like what you were saying, A, when we get that revelation that he does see you. This is what I love. You know, when I minister to people, he sees that person so incredibly uniquely and in such detail. And he tells them things about themselves that are in such detail that I could never know about them because I don't know them anyway. That tells me he sees them. Why else? Oh, I see Jesus with the thermos and the hot water in the kitchen through this lady. But a good thing I see Jesus, because otherwise, boy, I'd zap her. That's how we've been taught. No, he sent Jesus for us. His love was prior to sending Jesus. And his love was prior to our sinning in the garden. And this plan was prior to our being made. It was all set up by love. And that's why he made us one with him. Not so we would struggle, not so we would fight the good fight of faith with, you know, punching gloves and trying to conquer every silly demon that runs around. We're one. We should get to the point where we just trample on the stupid things and pop their heads like a water balloon. And I'm not saying, you know, it's not a condemnation if we don't at this point, and if we're still learning that we are overcomers in him. It's no condemnation in it at all. I'm just saying that's how much he's given us. It's like, you know, we should just let, like a little bubble, plop, plop, plop. Oh, that one's gone, that one's gone. It shouldn't be this, I've got to earn it, or am I strong enough in faith? I'm one with God. What other faith do I need? That's what we've got to get. Our faith came when we received Jesus. That was the faith we needed. That was the mustard seed. It's all up from there. It's all, you know, sky's the limit from there and beyond. Because our faith is based on him. So it's not based on what we do and what we can't do and what we are allowed to do and what we think we should do. And it's not based on any of that. I'm one. Oh, gosh. Well, anything goes then. I'm one? Wow. Yep. I can have the nations. Yep. Thank you very much, Daddy. Yep. They're yours. That's your inheritance. Okay. Let's go. Send me. That's how, you know, that's how it is. And when we do sin or make mistakes or fall or whatever we want to call it, or intentionally, you know, defy him, we're covered by the blood of Jesus. And Jesus, who's the advocate, is always there. Not to remind the Father, oh boy, Daddy, you know, I know they really were naughty, but, you know, I covered that. You remember my horrible, horrific cross thing? It's okay. That's not what he does. He gave that out of love. He chose to do that. He did it with his whole being, his whole heart. He looked to the cross with joy. He endured it because the joy of the cross was us being redeemed and fully one with the Father like he is. That was the whole point. So when, you know, people tend to look at this and say, oh yeah, but Grace, you're telling people they should sin all the time. No, we're not. There's nothing to do with it. I'm not under sin anymore. Why would I want to sin? Okay, when I do sometimes or make a mistake or yell at my son when I shouldn't or get grumpy or whatever, I'm not suddenly out of relationship with the Father or out of fellowship with the Father. Since when does that happen? He's one. He lives in me. Where is he going to go? The oneness is like such a prime truth that we need to get. It's almost like a prime number, you know, like the pure prime number of mass and God. Okay, this is it, oneness. That's all we need to know. And then everything else fits together. You have everything else fits together. All right. When it says don't grieve the Holy Spirit, and you just said we can grieve him, but if he is grieving, he's still in us. That's right. We're one. That grieving, we're feeling. That's what moves us. We don't want to grieve him. It feels uncomfortable in the inside when we go off kilter or we choose something other than what God has offered to us. It does grieve the Holy Spirit in us. You know, that's how amazing it is. Not that, oh, we've grieved him and now he's going to go away and hide in a corner. Oh dear, Holy Ghost is upset with us. Uh-oh. You know, I wouldn't talk to him for a couple of hours. I mean, like, my goodness, we're one. When I talk, there is no separation. So if I've done something that's grieved the Holy Spirit, say I've been really mean to my son, when, you know, he didn't deserve any of it and he wasn't being naughty and I'm not trying to discipline him. I'm just, you know, grouchy. And it hurt his feelings. Just like a parent would say, oh, that feels really rotten that I was mean. Okay, I know what I'll do. I'll go in there, I'll apologize, and I might even make him something nice to eat or a dessert that I wasn't planning. Ha, 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 Ronnie. Very coarse. Very funny. Yes, me grouchy. Like this morning with the Skype. Yes, exactly like that. Anyway. And And you think about it, don't you? And you feel bad if you were sharp with your son. And they, you know, it wasn't, you weren't sharp because you were trying to train them in some way or help them make the right choice. You were sharp because you had a short temper. It's the same thing. My son doesn't suddenly say, okay, I don't know you, Mom. We're not related anymore. I'm leaving home. You know, it's the same thing. The Holy Spirit doesn't jump out of your body and go, you know what? I'm going to the mulberry tree by myself. And I'm just not going to talk to you for a while because you are mean. Doesn't work like that. He's right there in us for us to go to and say, Holy Spirit, I know that was stupid. I shouldn't have talked that way to my son. I really didn't mean to. So comfort him and comfort me so I can, you know, do it the right way. You know, I'm struggling, I'm having a hard day, whatever. You know, that's what he's there for. And you can go to Daddy as well and say, Daddy, well, that was really silly, wasn't it? I'm going to snuggle into your, you know, under your arm, and I just want you to hold me. And tell me, you know, how to do it better next time. Help me out. That's our relationship. Because if we think that every time we make a mistake, he's left us, we have no salvation at all. Might as well start again. What Holy Spirit just showed me as I had that momentary break was that the reason we have legalism in the church is because they don't trust the Holy Spirit. And that's why all the rules, all the law-based teaching, all of the lack of grace, and grace being like a maligned and a dirty word, is because they don't trust Holy Spirit. Because if you trusted Holy Spirit, when you would make a mistake or sin or whatever we want to call it, you would know you're one with God and he will complete the work that he begun in you. It says, until the day of Jesus Christ. That's his promise. So it's not like he leaves you there to not grow. Not trusting the Holy Spirit, that just so makes so much sense, doesn't it? That the reason there's legalism in the church is, well, they don't trust the Spirit because, you know, well, you can't go to the Spirit, heaven forbid. But, you know, because we don't really know. I mean, I remember just the other day somebody saying, oh, well, you know, well, it's fine to be, you know, led by the Spirit when we hear his voice, but, you know, we have to go by faith and we have to, you know, and the Word. And well, he inspired the Word. You know, so of course I'm going to, you know, the Word is going to be infused in me as a part of it. He used to, you know, when I first was saved, the Word would come out of me and I didn't know the Bible at all. He would actually say scriptures out of my mouth. And I hadn't read it. So that's the Holy Spirit. But they don't trust him. He's like a renegade to them. Rather than the Spirit of the living God living in us, making us one. He's this outlaw. And I love him. And he's not an outlaw. He is sent purposely from the Father of lights to live in us through Jesus Christ our Lord. And if that isn't right, and if that isn't righteousness, I don't know what is. What more could we want? There is no want. There is no lack. And that's what needs to be turned around. Relationship with Holy Spirit, which then reveals the oneness of God in us, because he is that personification of oneness of God in us. When that's revealed, freedom for us, instead of 2x4s chasing us down, you know, the letter, what is it, the letter kills but the Spirit adds life. Instead of having that and turning the Bible into some horrible weapon, instead of the living word that it is, and through Holy Spirit it comes to life, it is alive, not just little marks on a page, and memorize them and then, you know, you're okay, you're in. That's not how it works. There's no freedom in it. Just confessing words with no relationship. Well, you can do that without God. Is that what we want? We don't want that. We want genuine relationship. So I just think that's a really important point that he made, that legalism and rules and man's tradition are there as a substitute for Holy Spirit because they don't trust him. And they don't know him. They don't know him. So when people say to me, oh, how can you talk about the Holy Spirit? You know, you're going to always hear from him. I to me, that flummoxes me. What do you mean I won't? He's living in me and I'm one. How can I not hear him? And I'm not talking about putting people down who are learning to open to his presence. I don't mean that. But people who say, oh, no, you're not allowed to always hear him. You know, you have to go to the Word and you have to have faith and you have to, you know. Well, faith was the beginning. I had faith. I said yes to Jesus. That's faith. There's my faith. I got it. Now I get to live in union with God. I don't need that faith anymore because I stepped in. And once we really believe him, then that mustard seed of speaking to problems, whether it's our own or other people's, will be made manifest because we're really believing him. Not us, not our ability, not how strong we are spiritually. That's what it's all become. It's become all about us, not about him. That's a good point, Ronnie. We need the Holy Spirit to help us use the sword properly, the Word of God. That's exactly right. To wield it with wisdom and grace. Because it says the letter kills, but the Spirit adds life. So that's the description of him. He brings life to it, to the Word of God. You know, he doesn't make it a letter to beat people up with. So that's, I think, probably, and yet we can use the word like a law. That's right. And that's what they do. The law, it gets used as a law, then man's traditions on top of it, then doctrine on top of that, all of that together. And where's the Holy Spirit in that? Nowhere. Well, we can't really trust the Spirit because you never know what the Spirit's saying. It might not be his Spirit. It might be a demonic spirit that you're listening to. And, you know, you got to line it up with the Word of God. Well, of course, he inspired the Word of God. When he's speaking to you, what he speaks is going to be lined up with that naturally, and you're going to know the difference. It's not like, oh, well, I feel like divorcing, you know, my spouse today because I feel really led to do that. It's not like that. He leads you into all truth. He doesn't lead you into nonsense. But people are so afraid that, no, look, we can't trust you people, you believers, even though you're one with God. Well, we won't even say that because, you know, that might make you really arrogant. We can't trust you to make the right decisions because, you know, that's why we have to be here and tell you. As if the Holy Spirit isn't alive in them. And if someone would just teach them how to relate to him, and very basics, no big, you know, 6-month seminar or even weekend seminar. Just a few things. Speak to him, talk to him, call him Holy Spirit. He likes that. Not the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, I don't understand you. Teach me about you. And then go through your day and let him start revealing himself. And then you realize that he taught you that. You go, oh, yeah, you're the teacher. Maybe I can ask you something else. How about this problem I have with my husband? Can you help me with that? And then he shows you what to do there. Or he just infuses your household. Or he just changes someone, either yours or your husband's mind. You know, it's just amazing. It's, you know, he's the, what do they say, the whole box and dice. We don't have to go any further. And it's that simple. It is no big process, no big program. Nobody, oh, I have the, you know, the scoop on Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you how to relate and, you know, but you have to pay me $454.35 to get there. You know, my goodness. No, just call him Holy Spirit and talk to him. That's it. That's the beginning. And he'll take over from there. That's all. It's wonderful, isn't it? So we don't have to make it such an ordeal at all. When we grieve the Holy Spirit, and because he's in us, and we're one, that's part of how he teaches us. That is like a Geiger counter, you know, uh-oh, whoops, or a metal detector, better yet, not a Geiger counter, like a metal detector. uh-oh, there's copper, you know. And the copper might be, wow, I'm missing love in how I minister to people. Oh, wow, this feels so wrong. I just don't, it feels horrible. And then you seek the answer and you seek help and you see, you know, you seek him and Lord, this isn't working. I don't want to do it like this. It has to be love or I don't want to do it at all. And then he shares with you and shows you how to minister in love and becomes, and is that love flowing through you? So the grieving actually becomes a teaching tool. I'm not suggesting let's grieve him on purpose.
No.
I'm just saying when that happens, it is a signal in us that something's off. And it's like our little metal detector. And from there, we can get back on track with him about, you know, what we need, what, you know, where we're really meant to be going and what we're really meant to be doing. So that's, you know, that's really,
let be alive in them, you know, and sometimes we just go through the day and, you know, we can go through the day where, you know, it's like he's not even there, but he is there, but, you know, we, you know, it's kind of a dead thing, and, you know, I don't know, if we're not talking to him, then, you know, it's, I don't know, it's kind of one of those things where, you know, it should be more, you know, there should be something more to your day, and, I just think of church sometimes, I think of, you know, you can go to different churches and stuff, and sometimes they, you know, it's a good service, so to speak, you know, whatever that means, a good service. But, you know, is he there in it all? And he is with us, of course. But if we're not acknowledging him and knowing who he is and knowing that he's one with us, you know, we're going to start getting caught up, I think, in a lot of the thinking. Where the spirit may not be necessarily flowing fully as it should be.
Mm.
And so you're hearing this loud kind of preaching sometimes, and you're starting to, you know, get caught up in that kind of stuff, you know, and you think, okay, well, this must be, you know, true what they're saying, but maybe the Lord is not saying that. Maybe it's just someone else's wrong interpretation. So who's doing the interpretation for us, you know?
Yeah, well, he does. He does. Holy Spirit
does.
But the thing is, you know what I call that situation that you just described? That's a believer missing in action. Do you know what I mean? You're like missing in action. You're like, you're not there. You're there, but you're not really there.
Yes.
You know, because you're not in walking in that union that God gave you. So you're missing in action, you know, kind of like the lost souls. And there's a lot of believers that are like that. And it's tragic because that's definitely not what Jesus paid for. And that's not why God sent him. You could be, you know, someone could be a wandering lost soul. That is definitely not what he planned. That's all enemy. All enemy. That's all it is. And it gets used, you know, it comes through the church or teachings or doctrines or whatever it is that people are taught. You know, you're not really worthy. Good thing Jesus was nice enough to die for you. But, oh, my goodness, any second, you know, you could blow it. Rather than the whole point was for us. We were the reason he got sent. And we were the reason Jesus came. Not Jesus came because of us, because we were such dirty, rotten sinners. The reason he came was for us. We were his reason. And I think that's really, you know, the finish of it, of what we're talking about today. And I don't really think we have anything more to really add, because it's, you know, to cap it all up, or however you say it, you know, to finish it up, is that we are one. Okay, Jesus, well, like we said at the beginning, for God so loved the world, love was first. He sent his only begotten son, that was second, so that whoever should believe in him, that was third. The forgiveness was the next one, that they would have eternal life. when they receive Him, Jesus, then they have the indwelling Spirit. And they want to, when we get baptized in the Spirit, it's about receiving the power, you know, the full power of God through the Holy Spirit. We have all of Him. And from that point, we're to look to the Holy Spirit to teach us. Because it says, you have no need that anyone teach you. In 1 John, I love that verse, 1 John 2:27. But the anointing, which is the Holy Spirit, which you have received from Him, abides in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in Him. And that's who Holy Spirit is in us. That's it. You know, it's continual, it's forever. And I know I believe it's somewhere in John, where Jesus says that the Father sends Him to abide in us forever, the Holy Spirit. So it's a forever deal. You know, never leave you nor forsake you. It's all done. Now we just have to revel in it, chew on it, meditate on it, and actually get that you will never leave me nor forsake me, Lord. That's what you said. Okay? I want to understand it. You can say that. Holy Spirit, show me what that means. That's what's so exciting. He'll teach you anything. He says he teaches you all things. And that's all we have to do is ask. Very simple. So, you know, if someone said, oh, I will teach you how to commune. And there's not even any seminars on it anyway. No one wants to teach anybody how to commune with the Holy Spirit. It's like he's just ignored. But say somebody wanted to start doing that. Or at least I don't know of anyone. Maybe they do. You know, and charge you a few $100 to do it. Okay, this is the answer. Holy Spirit, teach me. I don't understand you. Teach me how to relate. Teach me who you are. Okay, teach me how I'm one. Teach me oneness. I don't get that. Okay. Oh, that's good. Now I get that. Teach me grace. I don't get that one. Wow. Is that it? Okay. Now teach me. That's it. That's the seminar. You know, and you don't need another person. You just need someone to start you off and say, actually, you can talk to Holy Spirit. That's it. He's one with you. And you're one. It's not even with. It's like that with, almost that word almost gets in the way, because one with makes it sound like there's two things, aren't there? They're two separate entities. One. We're one. No separation. It's the real deal. And all we have to do is say, teach me oneness. I don't get it. And he's been doing it with me, and then I'm being able to share it with others. And any believer can ask. It's not, you know, specific to certain people. Oh, you're in the capacity of a teacher, or you're a pastor, or you're, you know. He lives in every believer. That's how it works. So, I think that's it for today.
Sounds good.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah. So it's personal. You know, because when I notice when I'm teaching, or when Holy Spirit's teaching in me, you know, we're doing a job together, but we're one. I'm still trying to understand. How do you speak that in human language? I don't know. But when that happens, people get revelation in themselves, and that's what I want. I don't want it to be, oh, chew on my used manna. I want it to be for them.
Yeah, I read this.
And I really appreciate you, you know, joining, especially since it was so late for you. And we'll talk to you very soon, I'm sure.
All right, I'll go ahead and end the call.
Okay.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Have a wonderful day. Okay?
Shalom. Yeah, okay. Have a good sleep. All right. Bye.
Thanks, Jesse.